Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope you have. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What is it that the Scriptures say? They say to us, if we sanctify, we need to sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, and always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks for the reason for our hope. Now, who is it who wrote that? Who is it who said that? There we go. You're much better than the people in Bonn. They struggled with that one for a long time. That's right. St. Peter. Who's St. Peter? St. Peter is the first pope. St. Peter is the one who Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. St. Peter is the one who is the chief among the apostles, and he charges us today in a very interesting way to make sure that anywhere we find ourselves, we're able to always give a reply, an explanation for the hope which we have. It's interesting that he doesn't say we need to make sure that we need to make a defense or give an explanation for the faith that we have. No, many Catholics don't understand our faith. Many Protestants don't understand our faith. That's why they're not Catholic. People don't understand what our faith is, but he's saying it's not about telling them what the facts of the faith are, but it's about hope. It's about what our hope is about. See, it's not just about explaining what it is that we believe, but it's not about the facts, it's not about the concepts, it's not about the ideas that we have, but really, it's about explaining our hope, which isn't put in facts, in concepts, or in ideas. Where do we put hope? Hope is put in a person, in persons, in human beings, in those who we have relationships with. And so for Catholics, what is the reason of our hope? Who is the reason of our hope? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who gave his life for me. That's what our hope is. So are we ready to tell people why it is that we hope in Christ? Why we put our trust in him? Why we put our very lives and all that we are in the very hand of Jesus, trusting that he is not going to destroy us, but going to carry us on to his Father? Are we? As Catholics, we are called to place our hope in Christ and need to be able to explain the question, why Jesus? Why Jesus and not Buddha or Muhammad or Martin Luther or whoever it is who founded the Baptist Church? Why Jesus above all? We're approaching Memorial Day right now. And when we're around Memorial Day, what are our minds on? Upon the men and women who sacrificed their lives so that we could be free, who gave their lives so that we could live here and do what it is that we do each and every day without worry of threat of violence. I love soldiers, and I love spending time with them, and especially I like to ask them questions about, especially, why is it that you went to fight? Why is it that you took up arms? Why is it that you joined the service? And I find it interesting, the reply, because their reply is always something which relates to what we just had here in that second reading that Irenaeus gave for us. In that second reading where it tells us why it is that we should have hope. You'll never find a single serviceman or a servicewoman who says that they were willing to climb out of their trench for the sake of their government. You won't find them. But you will find them who say that I'm willing to climb out of there for the sake of my country. You won't find one who's willing to climb out of there for the sake of a constitutional republic that's a democracy. You're not going to find that. But you will find somebody who's willing to climb out of that trench to defend that government that protects those freedoms. You're not going to find anybody who's willing to climb out of their foxhole and to storm that gunnery nest to take that machine gun for the sake of humanity in general. But you will find every single one of those soldiers who says that I'm willing to do it for the sake of my family, for the sake of my sweetheart back home, for the sake of my buddy who's with me in that foxhole next to me. They're willing to do it because it's always something that's personal. It's always something that's concrete. It's always something that's real. It's never an abstract concept or a generality. That's what St. Peter is challenging us to do today. St. Peter is saying, are you ready to give a reason for your hope? He's asking, is your faith an abstraction, something which is distant from you? Is it something which is just a set of ideas? Or is it a person, namely Jesus Christ? Have we really, really placed all our hope in him? You know, there's a great Catholic convert by the name of Scott Hahn. Maybe you know who he is. I gave Krista a book by him just not too long ago. He's a great Catholic convert who speaks so beautifully about our faith. And one of his books that he wrote is A Father Who Keeps His Promises. I recommend that to you very strongly because it goes through the scriptures, taking a look based on the covenants and seeing how God is a faithful father who always does what he says that he wishes to do and accomplishes it for our sake. Now, in this book, he gives a beautiful example in the very beginning of it of the 1989 earthquake in Armenia and what happened there. Because it struck this small town. In this small town, everything was sort of weakened. All the buildings were beginning to crumble after this strong earthquake. But one building in particular collapsed completely. That was the schoolhouse. The schoolhouse where all the children went to go to school. And so as word spread throughout what the damage was doing, there was one father who was a laborer, father whose son went to that school. And as soon as he heard of the news of that schoolhouse falling down, he began to sprint the remaining miles between where he was and there to get to see where his son was. And when he arrived, he saw everybody moping around. They were sad. They were doing nothing because they saw that there wasn't any hope. It was already collapsed and everything. So seeing these people's inaction, that father leapt into action. He began throwing himself upon that rubble where he saw that his son would probably be and just began to throw rocks and rubble, twisted metal over his shoulder, little by little clawing with his bare hands. And those who were looking on said, what's the use? Put their hand on his shoulder and said, mister, it's hopeless. You're not going to get anybody there. We can't move this. They're done. And without even looking back, he just continued to take fistful and fistful of rubble, tossing it over his shoulder. And he said, you can either stand there and do nothing, or you can help me and continue to go. People began joining in just to say, hey, maybe this will help him feel better to know that he's not alone doing this. He continued to do this for an hour. 2 hours passed. 3 hours passed. 12 hours passed. 24 hours passed. 36 hours passed. And by this time, he just continued without rest, continuing to throw rubble over his shoulder, to dig and to dig with his bare hands, which by this time were just filthy, bloody nubs, continuing to go. 38 hours later, they heard a high-pitched sound. And they were able to make out its word when it screamed again, Papa. Shortly thereafter, they were able to remove those stones, and none other than his own son, Armand, was exactly where they were digging. He was able to help his son out, and when Armand, that little boy, came out, he began helping his father, pulling back more and more. You know, there were 13 of the 33 children who were there who were recovered because of this man and those who were helping him. Little Armand went atop that rubble after helping one of his close friends out of that rubble and turned to him in the sight of all, and they could hear him clearly. As he was speaking to his friend, he said, see, I told you, my father would not forget about us. The question is, do we have that same sort of confidence, that hope in Christ that little boy had? See, that little boy, Armand, he had hope, but it wasn't hope in an idea. It was hope in a person, somebody who he knew loved him above all things, his father. Do we believe Jesus Christ? Do we have hope in him the same that this little boy had? When he speaks, do we trust that what he says is going to be accomplished? Do we believe when Jesus says, I will not leave you or forsake you? When he says, if you confess your sins, I will be faithful and just to cleanse you of all your unrighteousness. When he says to you, I will send my Holy Spirit when I leave to be with you and teach you all things. When he says, I will go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, your place will be secure. When he says, fear not even death, for I have overcome the grave. Do we believe him? Do we hold his promises to be true? Because I tell you something, if we do believe Jesus, if we do believe what he says, it's not because they're reasonable statements. It's not because we believe that they make sense in our minds, so we're going to go ahead and follow him. It's not because of that. If we believe and we trust what Jesus Christ says, have confidence in him, it's because we have hope in his person. In the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The only pathway for us to get to the Father. The source of abundant life, that abundant life which we've spoken about that the Good Shepherd wishes to give to each of us if we put our trust in him. See, Jesus isn't an abstraction. He's real, a person with whom we can have a deep and personal relationship with. And so when he left us in body, he didn't leave us with an abstraction. He left us with something concrete. He left us with his love and the Holy Spirit to be lived out and to be listened to here within his one holy Catholic and apostolic church. That's what we have, brothers and sisters. And the church reveals us who Jesus is in many ways. And I think three are important to us. The first is the church tells us who Jesus is. Because we gotta, before we can love somebody or do something for somebody, we gotta know who they are. We gotta have that relationship with them. And so what the church does constantly through her liturgy, through the readings, through everything that she does, she reaffirms the promises of Jesus and says, he is one who can be trusted. Trust in him. And the second thing that the church does is the church tells us how to follow Jesus. Gives us the way. Because when that knowledge of who Jesus is hits our heart, then our desire is we want to begin to love him. And love, as the gospel says, Jesus said it in the gospel that Deacon Edward proclaimed for us. The gospel says this is what love looks like. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He says that. So love, brothers and sisters, is something which is always lived out through deeds. It's not about words. It's not about words. Any of you who've been married for any stretch of time know that love isn't what they say, it's what they do. It's how they live it out. It's not about sweet-sounding things. It's about concrete action. So Jesus says it. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Realize that that's not a singular statement. Plural. All his commandments. To keep each and every one of them. Part of loving God is listening to his Holy Spirit as it speaks through the church. And we can't be cafeteria Catholics, brothers and sisters. We got to be all-you-can-eat Catholics. I see you when we go to the meal afterwards. You pile your plate on with all sorts of food. You don't care where it comes from. You put it on your plate. You take it all. When you go to these meals, it has to be the same with our faith. We can't just pick and choose that I like this one, but I don't get that one, so I'm not going to have that a part of my life. We take it all because it's all Jesus' message for us to live out his love. If we don't understand what God is saying, if we don't understand this particular teaching that he's given us in his church, then we go forward in faith. We study, we listen, we ask somebody who knows more than us and trust that the church has been around longer than me, so it knows better than me. So I'm going to trust and verify that truth. The third thing is really important for us as well. The church does this. The church doesn't just tell us that we need to know God or tell us that we need to love him in our service. But the church gives us the way. Gives us the way to do that, which means the sacraments. That's how we come to do all those things. Because it's through the sacraments that we have that physical, concrete touch with God. And he's able to touch us. Because like what happens, we receive new life in baptism, which Javen just experienced. We receive the gift of healing and forgiveness in confession. And that's what little Geneva just experienced for the first time a couple weeks ago. We receive strength and mission in our conversation that Miss Jasmina Serena lived out just last week. We receive from God that gift of suffering, which is lived out in the sacrament of matrimony. Because matrimony means suffering for the other. But above all, what our Lord grants us is he gives us in his very person, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. the Eucharist, which our young men just received for the first time last week. That's how God wishes to love us. You know, in the beginning, we talked about a question. The question was, why is it that you have hope in Jesus? Can you explain your connection to this person? Can you answer that question now? I sure hope so. Because it should be the same reason that you give. The same reason that you give should be the same one that those soldiers give when they're willing to leave their foxhole. It should be the same reason that that little boy Armin didn't lose faith and hope that his father was going to get him. It should be because you know the very person of Jesus Christ. It should be because you've experienced his love and his mercy poured out generously upon you in your moment of need. It should be because you always are able to grip or to gaze upon a crucifix, which reminds us and to say, that right there is the reason for my hope. That sacrifice, that love gives me hope. To say that I will sanctify within my soul that Jesus Christ is Lord. Meaning I'm going to let him be God in my life. So that I can always have something to say when somebody asks me what it is my reason for my hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.